Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
You started with Lisa, of course, a couple of weeks ago, and you've continued it with myself and Wendy, and I'm loving it, Ron. You're a great writer for these reviews.
Well, thank you.
You deliver it well, and I think that you are one of the few people actually going to see a lot of movies these days, and it's helpful to hear what's worth checking out or not.
Well, thank you. I hope it is helpful. That is the whole idea, because there is so much content out there right now, and especially if you're, you know, Netflix searching, or if you're just looking for a night out, which I do recommend. I recommend that people go out to the movie theaters. It's such a fun experience, even though it can be expensive, I know.
But it's a good excuse to binge out on junk food. And call it part of a date, right?
There it is.
Some popcorn. As I said, mix the Reese's Pieces in the popcorn, people, or the snow caps, or heck, both, Ron. There's no reason not to.
Raisinets work as well.
Now we're getting this popcorn bucket a little full. But let's talk about some movies that you saw here recently.
Yeah, well, the first movie that I saw is Send Help. It's doing very well at the box office right now. Rachel McAdams is a socially awkward but hardworking woman who really gets no respect at the office. And her new boss, the recently deceased boss's obnoxious son, is well played with slimy smugness by Dylan O'Brien. It's directed by Sam Raimi. And for movie fans, that should mean a lot because he's a veteran horror film director. And I say horror, but he actually makes popular horror genre films that contain a lot of gore disguised as fun. If you know Sam Raimi, you know what I'm talking about. His movies are like adult versions of the kids' Nickelodeon show where they poured slime all over contestants to loud laughter and cheers. Mm-hmm. That was the high point of that show. Well, that's a Sam Raimi movie, only it's not slime, it's buckets of blood. His films include The Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and the Army of Darkness series. And those were fun, tongue-in-cheek, you know, like comic book horror movies. And Drag Me to Hell, which turned up the crazy all the way to 11. In a good way, and that is actually a good movie. And The Outlier is a simple plan, which is a straight drama by Sam Raimi. He also did the Spider-Man trilogy, but ordinarily the Raimi style of film directing is if it doesn't splatter, it doesn't matter. And that's him in a nutshell.
Does that continue then in this movie, Send Help?
It does. This time the movie masquerades as a survivor story. Then it becomes a would-be twisted romantic comedy. Huh. The boss and the employee are stranded on a deserted island and the roles are reversed. She's the boss with the skills to survive, and he's dependent on her kindness and teaching him things. The only question is, will there be blood? And of course the answer is yes, and lots of it. So okay. There's also vomit, you know. Oh. for the kids, you see. It's not actually a Valentine's Day movie. I wouldn't recommend it for that. The ironic twist ending is a stab, pun intended, at twisted humor. The bottom line is if you like Raimi's previous work, you will be thrilled. But you take away the eye gouging, the blood splattering gore, and this film really does need help. It's for specific audience only.
That's not me, but if it is you, okay. How many brownie points we give
this? I still give it 2.5 brownie points because it is what it tries to be. You know, it's a Sam Raimi film. It's like a Three Stooges comedy. You take away the slapstick, you don't have much. Sam Raimi, you take away the blood and the gore, you don't really have much there. But you like it, that's there.
That's one movie. We still have Mercy and also a Mel Brooks documentary. But I want to make sure we get to traffic right on time, Ron, because there's a lot happening in that world. We'll finish the segment after this. Let's move on to Mercy. What do you have here for us, Ron?
Yeah, I saw Mercy, and take my word for it, it doesn't deserve it. The premise is, what if criminal court cases were decided not by a judge and jury, but by artificial intelligence, which has been fed all of the crime facts, and it has access to all of the suspects' digital information from social media, phone records, and all available digital video recordings from just about everywhere and everybody? AI decides if you're guilty or innocent. It's actually a better premise than a movie.
I think I'd watch that movie.
It does sound good. So
right. What
did they do with it? Well, Chris Pratt, who's always a likable guy, he plays a police detective, and Rebecca Ferguson is the artificial intelligence judge and jury. He's assumed guilty of murdering his wife by the available facts, and he has to prove he's innocent by finding the information that AI has overlooked, if any. And for some reason, he has to do this within 90 minutes, and he has to do this while strapped to a chair, and he has to do this without an attorney. I guess that's all for dramatic effect. And for some reason, he can't remember if he did it or not, because he got really drunk after leaving their house where she was found stabbed to death and he had a blackout. So that's the dramatic setup there. But it really falls apart the further it goes along. Like you said, it's a neat, interesting premise. Yeah. Hey, what about this? It's not really a legal movie. It's an action movie, so they don't really dwell on that. It falls apart as it goes along, and then it barrels to a preposterous ending with explosions and guns. I give Mercy 2 out of 5 brownie points.
The premise almost sounds like if we were to do it in a futuristic, my favorite movie of the century, I think still is Minority Report.
Yeah.
Where you look at crime and punishment from angles of that was the precogs. Somehow these beings would be able to pre-anticipate a crime being made and then you're arrested. And then there's these psychological questions or societal questions of can you arrest someone before they committed a crime? And Tom Cruise, and they executed flawlessly. And when you give me that premise of AI as juries, boy, I can really chew on that. But it seems like I'm chewing on a bunch of grizzled fat instead of steak.
We'll have to wait for a better movie at a better time. Okay. But Minority Report is a very good movie and a similar premise.
That's an excellent. That's a Spielberg, right?
Yeah, Steven Spielberg, a few years ago.
Okay, what else we got?
Well, I'm going to end with a good one. It's a new documentary streaming on HBO Max. A lot of people have probably seen this already. Mel Brooks, the 99-year-old man.
Okay.
Do I have to say anything more?
You got me with him.
It's
yes.
Mel Brooks. I mean, if you're a Mel Brooks fan, you're absolutely going to love this. It checks all the right boxes. It's funny. It's informative. It's entertaining. It is very entertaining. It's a loving tribute about the life of one of America's great comedian filmmakers. He has created classics. Can I list them off?
Please.
The Producers from 1967. Fantastic movie. 12 Chairs. Seldom seen, but that's a good one.
I don't know 12 Chairs.
Yeah, it's a good one. Look it up from 1970. It's kind of like a take on Russian literature.
Okay.
And he takes a funny look at it, of course. Blazing Saddles, everybody knows, from 1974. A classic. Young Frankenstein, also from 1974.
Wait, the same year as Blazing Saddles
and Young
Frankenstein.
He was on a roll. Then
wow.
Can you believe that he was on a creative role then? Well, actually, Young Frankenstein was written by Gene Wilder, but he did direct
yes.
it. So, and then there were many, many others. They don't stack up to the greats, but they're still good. Robin Hood, Men in Tights, Silent Movie, High Anxiety, and then he had some serious movies under the moniker of Brooks Films, which this documentary reminded me of. Those movies included The Elephant Man, that's a Mel Brooks production. The Fly, the movie Francis with. Jessica Lange is in there. My Favorite Year is in there. All good movies. So this kind of like it's great archival and it's great interviews. It's Judd Apatow who's directing it and produced it, I believe. It's a love letter to Mel Brooks, beginning with his classic skit, The 2,000-Year-Old Man with Carl Reiner, his lifelong friend. Starts with that, and it replays that. That's a play on the 99-year-old man because Mel Brooks is 99 years old.
Yeah.
And he is there for the interviews, and he sounds great, and he looks great, and he's still very funny. He's very sharp. So you go through all that great history, including his marriage to Anne Bancroft and several interviews with her. It's two parts, so it's pretty long, but it's well worth it. You'll want to revisit several Mel Brooks films after this, no doubt. I guarantee it.
How many brownie points are we giving this?
I'm giving it 4 out of 5 brownie points.
It's pretty good. And, you know, two parts, you know, at first you're like, oh, man, that is long. But he is 99, and he's done a lot in his career. You didn't even mention Spaceballs, Ron.
Didn't even mention Spaceballs. See? So there's they do. So
yes. Spaceballs got a big part of our show yesterday, as it turned out. And I think it was it you, Kevin, or was it Bob letting me know that there's a Spaceballs 2 coming out?
Yeah, that came up on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
And also texted John, too, yesterday that Netflix has released a whole bunch of Catherine O'Hara films.
Oh, yeah.
To stream. We watched Best in Show last night.
Yeah. I like Waiting for Guffman is my favorite of those groups.
They're fantastic.
They really are. Okay, so the Mel Brooks two-part documentary. I do love this next segment you wanted to do about just remembering where to watch some of this stuff. Because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, let's knock out a couple of these Oscar noms. And, you know, I guess you could Google it and someone will be able to figure it out for it. But That's a one step too many. So which ones can we stream?
We'll make it easy for you right here. For the Best Picture nominated films, Hamnet is now streaming on Apple TV. That's new. It may cost you a little bit, but it's worth it if you couldn't make it out to the theater. That is an odds-on favorite for Jessie Buckley as the Best Actress. I think it's a lock. I would be shocked, surprised. Even though there are good performances from other actresses, this is just an Oscar performance.
So Hamnet's on Apple TV.
Hamnet is there. Marty Supreme is not out yet. You'll still have to go to the movie theaters.
Although
that.
I will say there's on I think it's Apple, says coming soon, but there's no date. So
soon, yes. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Begonia is streaming on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, YouTube, all the regulars. F1 is streaming, same places. Frankenstein's streaming on Netflix. You just saw that.
Yeah, that was okay.
It was okay. Yeah. One Battle After Another, that is streaming on HBO Max and all the others. The Secret Agent, that's a Spanish movie. It is on Apple TV and Prime. So if you're okay with subtitles, you may enjoy that. Sentimental Value is also an international film from Norway. It is on Prime, Apple, and YouTube. A couple of Oscar-nominated performances in there. Sinners is on HBO, Apple, YouTube. That's also Train Dreams on Netflix. So those are your Oscar-nominated movies.
We watched the trailer for Train Dreams, and I was all in. Enrique was all out with it. And I hate when a trailer does that, where it's like, we're just trying to find something to watch, and I'm watching around. I'm like, oh, this is going to be it. This is what we're going to pick. And Enrique's like, pass, hard pass.
Yeah, oh, I watched it. It was beautiful.
Yeah, give him 10 minutes. The first 10 minutes he will be in.
Right, it's kind of slow, but it's beautiful.
Well, then you said what Enrique hates. He hates the slowness.
Oh.
I was going to say, here's his phone number. You text him and tell him that we should watch it, because I'm trying to do that sometime this weekend.
Tell him it's short. It's not that long.
Oh, he'll like that.
Yeah.
I love when Enrique, and we all do this at some point, but Enrique will complain about, oh, it's 2 hours and 10 minutes. I'm like, we just watched 14 episodes in a row of Downton Abbey.
See, that's
how
it goes.
That's like 9 hours of content. It's way shorter to watch a movie these days.
If it's a good movie, it's as long as it needs to be.
Exactly. You know, exactly. So. Anything else you want to leave us with? We've got about 30 seconds left, Ron.
Back in IMAX movie theaters, The Revenant, an incredible movie. It's a 10-year anniversary. It's coming out on February 26th and March 1st.
I never heard of it the first time.
The Revenant. Fights a bear.
Oh, that's the bear one.
Yes. That movie is great. Incredible opening scene, too. Very intense.
With a bear?
No, not the bear. It's Native Americans.
Okay.
Yeah, fights. The cinematography is just incredible.
That's the one he won the Oscar for, right?
Yes.
Finally?
Yes.
Very good. That's 10 years old already.
Yeah. So February 26th and March 1st. If you can get to an IMAX theater, please do go.
All right. Ron Brown, you're the best. We love having you do this. Now get back to your news job,
Thank
okay?
Thank you. That's a wrap.
Oh, I always miss it. You have a little tag on there. Sorry about that, buddy.
That's all right.